Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our 2 at 2, promoting God, family, and country, protecting life, liberty, and property, doing so in the traditions of our founders, using the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution, the checks and balances, rejecting revolution, standing for restoration. That is the key to the exercise on Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, we got Dr. Scott Bradley continuing with us both hours. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Welcome back, Doctor.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We also have Kelly Finnegan representing RussCoinAndGift.com. Over the last 50 years, RussCoinAndGift.com has been helping folks understand and obtain precious metal. Welcome back, Kelly.
Thank you very much, Sam.
All right, there's so much to talk about, so little time. Let's get right on it with the Honest Money Report. Where's gold sitting right now, sir?
Okay, let me look. I've got several things going on right now. Gold, let's see. Can you give me just a second and I'll get it for you?
Absolutely. Well, gold, silver.
While he's doing that, let me just ask a question that might maybe set the frame. I have just been absolutely baffled, astonished. It's such an enigma to me with the disastrous situation the current economy is in, with everything the Federal Reserve's doing, everything with inflation that's going on, everything that's happened in the last 31 months with the destruction of the economy. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And you know me, Sam, I often do go on and on and on. But the fact of the matter is, the precious metals market has not taken a real bump upwards because of this. I mean, it's everything.
No, and it won't because of the paper play.
Well, that's the thing. I'd love to talk with people that are in the know, because the precious metals
are lethargic. All right, you
want to
talk to Kelly Finnegan then, sir?
Well, that's right. Okay. And I'm glad he's on the air and I would get a chance to.
And I got...
All right, go ahead. Gold.
Okay, so gold's at 1765.50. So it's up. It's showing just from yesterday a 0.5%. Silver's at 2162, so it's up. It was just $19 and some change a couple of weeks ago. So it has gone up, but it's down a little bit today.
All right, let me make sure people get this then. Hold on. Gold is at $1,765.50. Silver, yep. 2162 right now. So it's up quite a bit from last week or the week before when we talked as well. Go ahead, Kelly.
Right, yep. Platinum, 1041, and then your rhodium is at 1445. 14450. Excuse me.
Yeah, so the bottom line is, if they don't have to take possession of the metals, this paper play game that they're able to perpetuate in these dishonest fiat currencies that are everywhere have really manipulated everything to the point where, look, they can play games and manipulate the price of real money, making you believe that those commodities don't really matter much and that they don't really produce real wealth and all that kind of stuff. The plunge protection team, the paper game, all it would take to call a halt to the con game is people to take delivery of their metal, and it would be over in 1 second, Dr. Bradley.
Well, and that's what's happening right now in the cryptocurrency, the FTX, which was the second largest exchange. They had a bank run, and they tried to get some help. They were $94 billion short, and now they're filing for bankruptcy. So Bitcoin's down below 16,000 right now. So it's really taken a digger. So people are starting to wake up, you know, and it's just, you know, silver and gold have been holding their own. They've been doing what they're supposed to do. I always price precious metals in commodities. I never price it against the U.S. dollar or anything else, because that's a thing. They can make as many of those as they want, but you can't get more gallons of gasoline. So
well, see, I've always had the same impression, and if you wanted, I mean, I've got dozens of founding fathers quotes about this, about the paper losing all its value in your hand. You've got it there and poof, gone. and you need that intrinsic value stuff. But these people that are encouraging people to say, oh, I've got it in a bank, or I've got it in some holding company, or I've got a piece of paper somewhere that is held by a company, there's no value there. There's no proof.
And one day you'll wish you hadn't, Dr. Bradley.
You're absolutely right. But the founding fathers understood this, and this intrinsic value stuff. I mean, I don't know what it costs right now to print a $100 bill with all the security stuff they put on it, but it used to be about 2.5 cents. And if the bad guys, the Federal Reserve, could print 1,800 of those, just 18 of them, 18 $100 bills at 2.5 cents each, they could buy an ounce of real money, gold. And so you see how they control things.
The Federal Reserve is a private company. Federal Reserve is a private company. And I remember Alex Jones had a bunch of people at the Dallas Federal Reserve, and they wanted to go in, and the security guard said, you can't go in here.
I'm telling you right now, Kelly, we're going to go ahead and check out Fort Knox. We're going to be behind the scenes and look into it. I'm telling you right now, we're going to make sure there's gold over there, right?
But he just said, we want to go in. And the security guard said, you can't come in here. This is a private company. And he said, can you say that louder so everyone can hear that? This is not federal, and it's not a reserve. You know, and so it was proof right there. See, this is a private company, and the U.S. government pays them to print currency. They're the biggest holder of U.S. debt, not China, not Japan, the Federal Reserve. So literally, big business owns the United States.
Well, and now Alex Jones is paying the price for this. I don't know if you know, but they've attacked Alex Jones to the point of ridiculous over the Sandy Hook thing. Were Alex's statements a little unwise? I think so, but not to the level of this abuse. Now InfoWars host Alex Jones and his company were ordered by a judge on Thursday, so just yesterday, to pay an extra $473 million for promoting false, quote, conspiracy theories about the Sandy Hook school massacre, bringing the total judgment against Alex Jones and his companies in these lawsuits filed by these victims' families to a staggering $1.4 billion. Now they're saying he owes $1.4 billion. He can't come up with that kind of money, ladies and gentlemen. It's an absolute joke, but what it's really doing is sending a message to the community. Don't you dare try to audit the Federal Reserve. Don't you dare try to stand up and have your own opinion and use free speech. And don't you dare grow your company outside of, quote, the mainstream matrix. Dr. Bradley, that's really what it's about. And if we really had constitutional currency, they couldn't find him near that kind of money.
Well, the judges are criminals in their own right with such a thing. The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third Amendment, the Third Amendment, not quite yet, but I can address that later if you want. Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, you go through the whole process. We have set them aside. But let's go back to the money for a second. Kelly's here, and I'd like to figure out why gold and silver are so lethargic in comparison to the disasters that are happening with the fake money. Here's a Jefferson quote. I know I told you I got so many, I could never get through them. Here's just one. Specie, that's intrinsic value precious metals, okay? Specie is the most perfect medium because it will preserve its own level, because having intrinsic and universal value, it can never die in our hands. And it is the surest resource of reliance in time of war. The trifling economy of paper as a cheap medium or its convenience for transmission weighs nothing in opposition to the advantages of precious metals. Paper money is liable to be abused, has been, and forever will be abused in every country in which it is permitted. There, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of the American economy run by a private consortium of money mongers that run our economy for their own profit. And I'm figuring that someday there's going to be a recognition of that, and the gold and silver that's held in people's hands, not in somebody else's vault, for crying out loud, or somebody else's top drawer, or never anywhere, they just don't have it. You've got to take possession. And that's where I think there's at least some measure of security. But I just don't know why it's so lumping along. I don't understand
it. I can tell you why.
That. Hey, Cameron, so skip the break. Kelly, go ahead, sir.
Well, I can tell you why it's so low, because there's maybe 1 in 1,000 people that understand that. I just talked to a lady the other day. She was surprised gold was as much as it was. Americans have no idea. It's like, well, why do you go to a jewelry store and buy a wedding ring and pay so much money? You know, yeah. It's because of the gold. People in Europe understand that, or at least they used to, that gold had value, and that's why they kept it and put it away. And in India, they understand the value. But in the United States, they don't get it. And as long as they can keep that game going with them, you know, they're ignorant is the problem. They don't want to know. They don't care. Everything's great. You know, I've got my cable TV, and I've got, you know, Little Caesars Pizza or McDonald's, and I'm great. Everything's fine. So they don't get it. There's a few people waking up. But as long as they can keep people in the dark and string them along, that this dollar is just as good as anything else. And that's
well,
why.
You know, there's some big movements around the world to go to a basket of currencies instead of the U.S. dollar as the go-to currency for the world. I mean, China is making some big inroads. Saudi Arabia is considering dropping the petrodollar. When that happens, and there isn't that facade of some intrinsic value associated with the dollar, we're going to see what they've done to us over the last 100 years in such a way it will be absolutely devastating to most people. Another thing, Kelly.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I want to ask you about some spread.
All they're trying to do is get people to exchange one fiat currency for another. You know, you're talking about this basket of currencies. They're all just based on, you know, smoke and mirrors. There's nothing behind them. China and Russia are trying to do a gold-backed thing, which is great. You know, the U.S. dollar, the rest of the world has lived off of the U.S.'s indulgences. You know, we make everybody else carry our debt. And Charles de Gaulle was the first one to wake up to that. And he was the one that caused them to rush and get exchange dollars for gold and made Nixon shut down the window. It was Charles de Gaulle that did it.
Well, you know, Kelly, initially in the United States, you know, the 1792 Coinage Act, there was like a 15-to-1 spread, silver to gold. And about 1830s, it probably went to 20-to-1. I haven't done the math today on what gold versus silver is. It's probably 70 or 80 to 1 now. I mean, you could probably do math right if I wanted to. Someday, it seems to me, there's more headspace right now in silver than there is in gold. Now, gold should be much higher than it is because of all the factors we've kind of been bantering about here. But silver is spread so far from gold that its historic value in comparison to gold is way behind. And it seems to me silver has a higher head value that, let's say, when they do start to reach their natural float, which is not allowed now because of the way the shenanigans are being worked, but it would seem to me that silver has a lot more opportunity to go higher faster than gold. And maybe my assessment's wrong, and I'm just a neophyte that doesn't understand anything. So kind of enlighten us, if you would.
I always tell people, you know, whether they want gold or silver, I said, do you like the roller coaster or the merry-go-round? Because gold's a merry-go-round. It doesn't really move a lot. Silver does big swings. And it's much easier for something to go from $1 to $2 than something to go from $100 to $200.
Yeah.
So that's where silver has that advantage, that it can really go up. But it can also go way down. And people don't get out of it when they should, or exchange it for something else. They think it's going to keep going up, and it doesn't. Everything's on a sine curve. But so that's gold's more of a stable thing, and it's more internationally accepted. In the U.S. and the rest of the world looks at silver as kind of a token coinage and industrial thing. It's bigger here in the U.S. than anywhere else. But so that's the difference between them. They're both scarce. One oxidizes and the other one doesn't. And that's another thing that's there. But yeah, as far as scarcity, that 16-to-1 might actually be, I think that's probably about right.
So if silver reached a 16-to-1 ratio with gold, silver would be way up from what it is.
Right now it's around 81 just over 80, yeah. around 81 times.
Yeah, and it hit the 16-1 in 1980 when silver went up to yeah. $50 and gold went to 850. It hit right on about the 16-1. So
that was a market-driven outcome that's probably right. where we ought to
but
measure
that was it. But it was where it was, you know, had been set for, you know, hundreds of years. So, in fact, there was a time silver was very rare until they discovered it in the Americas. You know, there was a time in Europe it was 8-1.
See, the thing is, and all of these things I think people need to get smarter on, absolutely for sure. But the
by
dollar,
by the way, it'd be $110 if it was 16-1 right now. By the way, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
that's
what I'm.
It'd be $110 for an ounce of silver. And I really want to stress this so people understand. You know, you used to have a $20 gold piece. That was when an ounce of silver was worth a dollar. And so it used to be 20-1 was kind of a standard. 15-20-1 was the historical relationship that everybody kind of thought made sense based on. You know, standard ratios and weights and measures and everything. That's the way it used to be. Now it's completely run amok because of the paper play, because silver is used in so many modern technology twists, etc. There's a lot of factors to this, but the fact is, it's amazing how gold and silver remain stubbornly relevant regardless, Dr. Bradley.
Well, that's absolutely true. And it is interesting, the 1792 Coinage Act defined a dollar in terms of silver. 371 and a quarter grains. And by the way, the grains were originally barley grains. So it has a food-based kind of thing. I mean, all these historical things. You know, in my mind, Sam, I know I'm a weird and strange individual, but all of these things have a sound foundation. And the U.S. dollar still is defined in terms of silver. And so there is some sound foundation here. If the people would just understand it and quit being so gullible and so foolish as to understand how the system has been manipulated by private banking consortium for profit for themselves to absolutely control our economy. And we've got Kelly and the Rust Group, I think that they have some sound things that people ought to sit and talk with them about. Because it's so rarely even discussed. You go to school nowadays, are you going to hear this? Not at all. You won't hear it at all. I mean, school is not a place of higher learning. It's a place of indoctrination. So
I did talk to some kids from a charter school, and we were talking about the Wizard of Oz and how it was talking about the election of 1896 and the, you know, the gold and silver. And they understood that it was about that. You know, it's a gold road, and she was wearing silver slippers, and you know, that the Tin Man was the industrial part and the Scarecrow were the, you know, the farmers and things. They understood all of that. And I'm like, wow, they teach that at your school. And they said, yeah, we just got them studying that. And then they came over to a mint I was working at. But to put this in perspective, during World War II, of the top 10 most desired commodities, where do you think gold was on that list?
I'm interested.
What's that?
The top.
It wasn't even on the list because gold was the tool that you could get cigarettes or gasoline or nylons or chocolate. But gold was the tool. People didn't want gold. They wanted what gold would get them. So that's
so
what
it was
gold
a commodity
is.
Based.
It's not the object. It's the tool.
Right.
And that's what we need to think of it as.
You exchange intrinsic value for intrinsic value. And,
right, and gold doesn't rot.
Right.
Well, and everybody always says you can use anything else as a commodity. You could use grain, you could use gas, you could use alcohol, you could use this, you could use that, and I don't agree. And the reason that I don't agree is because the special relationship between gold and silver, it can last the test of time. It doesn't rot, as Kelly wisely pointed out. It has intrinsic value. Everybody knows its value worldwide. It's had value for literally since mortality began, since Adam and Eve. But most importantly, it's got this portability aspect. You know what? If you had a big old, you know, 1,000 pounds of grain, that's not very portable, whereas a piece of gold and a piece of silver are. So it's got all those intrinsic value factors related to it, like nothing else, Kelly.
Yeah, and I did this with my wife, and I do it with everybody else, is I'll put an ounce of gold in their hand and the color, and their eyes just get big, and they it's like a light went off. They understand this is valuable. And I'll just ask them, have you ever held an ounce of gold? Have you ever held a $20 gold piece? No. And you put it in their hand, and it's like they understand this is valuable. This is made, you know, this was made for us to use as money. It's rare. It's hard to get to. It increases about with the population. All the gold that's really ever been mined, we can still get to it. It doesn't go away. Silver gets used up a little bit, but gold doesn't. It was made to be money. It was made for us to use. It has really no other purpose than that.
You know, Kelly, you talk about... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, but once they hold it, Dan Fogelberg had a song called The Power of Gold. And it really is. Once they hold it, they understand the power of gold.
You know, it's interesting. Substantive is what you might describe it. You know, and I've got to tell you, when my wedding ring is priceless to me. And my wife, you know, got it for me when we got married. And it's you just can't put a value on it. It is gold. But when I ended up getting sick, it's a long story, but I ended up on our 48th wedding anniversary, we went out and got me a new wedding ring. And this has nothing to do with a big, you know, gold coin kind of thing. But we were looking at them, and when I got the one that felt substantive in my hand, I said to my wife, this is the one. This has something to it. And that's kind of the way this intrinsic value precious metal has. You hold it in your hand, you find it substantive, and it's not something you take lightly. You know, and that's what I wanted in my new writing ring. It's a long story, but I bring it up to talk about that. That struck me when you said that. When it fits in, when you feel it in your hand, yeah, something to it.
Here's the contrast, and I want Kelly to stay on a little longer after the break if he can, because this is such an important discussion. But I don't know if you know, but you know, everybody tells me that this Bitcoin, this digital currency stuff is all good. We got to have it. The United States government moving towards a digital currency. It's the wave of the future. And ladies and gentlemen, it is the biggest scandal since the Federal Reserve began 100 years ago. It's the next level of tyranny where they'll tie your whole life and your whole financial world to a digital currency. And then they'll tie that to a government controlled communistic style credit score. And you and I won't fare very well at all. Or we better shut up. That's how it is. But here's the deal. The Department of Justice, they claim now, recovers stolen Bitcoin, once valued at $3.36 billion. So somebody stole $3.36 billion of Bitcoin. It was stolen, by the way, from the dark web marketplace Silk Road in 2012. Well, the government for over the last 10 years has been working on recovering it, don't you know? And it's now only worth about $1 billion. So it's lost two-thirds of its value since 2012. And they found it in this guy's house. And he had it stored on hard drives and thumb drives and all this stuff. He had it stored in like a coffee can or a this or a that or a... Anyway, and they finally busted him and got it and they recovered it. And now it's all just awesome. The only problem is it's lost two-thirds of its value since 2012, ladies and gentlemen. Scott, what do you think of that first? And then we'll get the break done, and then Kelly can respond as well. This is insanity, folks. Absolute insanity.
Well, we create our own paradigm, if you will, as a people, and people believe what they want to believe. But when the chips finally come down, or whatever hits the fan or whatever, I think we'll find that intrinsic value stuff still has higher value. And if you can trade it for food, you can trade it for warmth and shelter, I think you'll be a lot better off.
All right, we're going to take a quick pause. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley, and Kelly Finnegan. We shall continue in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As America continues to wait and wonder why some states can't get their elections in order, Nevada and Arizona continue to struggle with a process that Florida got done in one day. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton on Fox News expresses his dissatisfaction on Friday.
Well, it's mystifying. The people of Arizona and Nevada deserve a lot better than the electoral system the politicians in those states have delivered to them. In fact, our nation deserves better when you have the fate of power in Congress hanging in the balance.
A large section of the destroyed space shuttle Challenger has been found buried in the sand at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, more than three decades after the failed launch killed a schoolteacher and six others. It's one of the biggest pieces of Challenger found in decades since the accident, and since two fragments from the left wing washed ashore in 1996. Alex Jones and his company were ordered Thursday to pay an additional $473 million in punitive damages to families of the victims of the Sandy Hook school shooting. Thursday's order, imposed by Connecticut Judge Barbara Bellis, is in addition to the nearly $1 billion jurors demanded from him last month. A man convicted of strangling his mother and burying her body in the yard nearly 20 years ago was executed in Huntsville, Texas, Wednesday. 61-year-old Tracy Beatty uttered, "See you on the other side," before he received a lethal injection. FTX Cryptocurrencies Exchange filed for bankruptcy and announced the resignation of its CEO, Sam Bankman-Fried, on Friday. The billionaire, seen as one of the cryptocurrency sector's most prominent figures, filed Chapter 11 in a Delaware federal court. For more information, be sure to visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
Paid for by government.com. The 1878 to 1921 Morgan Silver Dollar, a true American classic and one of the most iconic silver dollar coins in history. It's been 100 years since the last Morgan Silver Dollar coin was struck for circulation. And now, for a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck Morgan dollars are being released to the public. That's right. You can own a full pound of 1878 to 1921 classic American Morgan Silver Dollar coins, all in very good collector condition with fully visible dates and mint marks. Guarantee. Call 1-800-473-1745 now to secure collector-grade U.S. Morgan Silver Dollars by the pound, struck during the Wild West and the Gilded Age. Plus, receive a bonus American Collector's Pack valued at over $25, free with every order. Call 1-800-473-1745 now to secure your full pound bag of Morgan Silver Dollar coins before they are gone. 1-800-473-1745. That's 1-800-473-1745.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Kelly Finnegan, RussQuinnegut.com, Dr. Scott Bradley, FreedomsRisingSun.com. So I mentioned that the DOJ recovered the stolen Bitcoin. It was stolen in 2012 on the dark web. 10 years later, your government gets it back, but it was worth $3.6 billion when it started. Now it's only worth a billion, so it's lost two-thirds in 10 years. And by the way, you really got to ask yourself some questions. The government recovered it? They found it? How do they get the password to it? Did the guy just give up the password or what? This is very strange indeed, and this just proves, folks, this is a big concern. I've told you they've had a backdoor to this forever, and I maintain my position. Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the government like a casino, they're going to make the rules to their advantage. So they're going to push you into something that makes it better for the house. And so if they want everybody to go crypto, there's a reason for that. It isn't for our good. It's for their good, because they've screwed up the fiat paper. You know, they couldn't keep doing it with the other. And so this whole deal where they can, you know, stuff lost, or, you know, everybody thinks that it's, you know, it's off the grid. Like, if I have Bitcoin, nobody knows what I'm doing with it. Oh yeah, they do. There's a record of it. You know, isn't that the thing that you want, is the blockchain and everything? So they know where it is, and they know who, if somebody steals something, they know who has it. And so this is a joke that they make it sound like they did something, but no, it's all in their advantage, and that's what they're playing.
You know, all right, I got an interesting email, Scott, and this is directly related to this. It's from a group called Stocks Journal. And Stocks Journal says this, the subject, gold is about to soar. here's what to do. And it's kind of interesting. They're kind of into the paper plate scenario. But number one, Kelly and Dr. Bradley, Kelly first, do you think gold's going to soar? And number two, what do you do? They've got their ideas. We've got ours is the point. Kelly?
Well, it's, you know, when Groucho Marx lost everything in the Depression because he was buying stocks, and people don't realize he went broke. But he said, you know, when the shoe shine kid starts giving you stock tips, it's time to get out. And when everybody on the radio and that's starting to tell you to start buying gold and get your IRA, there's a reason for that. You know, they want to make some money. Will it go up? Yes. Could it go down? Yes. But the reason you buy it isn't to get rich. It's an insurance policy. And it's the only insurance policy I know of that if you don't use it, you still have your premiums.
But whenever you hear soar, whenever you hear tank, whenever you hear all these words that are just extreme volatility, folks, you got to understand there's a con game going on every time.
Yeah, run away.
Dr. Bradley?
Well, your wisdom on this is extremely important. I, you know, if it becomes something that is just the talk of the town, if you will, you're already so far behind the curve, you don't know what to do. So what I normally tell people to do is, and Kelly had a good a point, it's an insurance policy. You're doing it for the long term. You know that it's not going to die in your hands, as Jefferson said. And you know that, you know, if you're watching it day to day, now somebody in Kelly's business probably has to watch moment by moment where the silver is, because you've got to put your premium on it when you sell it and everything, or when you buy it. But from my perspective, you do what you can with what you've got. You don't mortgage the farm to go do this or that or the other. But you go with a steady pace, making wise and considered and discerning decisions. And that's the best you can do in mortality. You know, we're all in this together. Nobody gets out alive. I mean, that's kind of the program. I told that to a military major that told me I was going to die shortly. But I told him, no, we're all in this together. And the program is nobody gets out alive. But if you do the best you can, use your wisdom, your God-given wisdom, and take possession. If you're going for crying out loud, you don't buy a car and let it sit on the lot hoping that somebody else is going to come by and later give you more for it. You've got possession of the car. You take possession of your home. Take possession of your asset, whatever it is, and recognize where it fits in the program you're trying to do yourself. And I think you let all of these pundits go by the wayside. They're kind of like the political pundits that have predicted a red wave. They don't know what they're talking about.
They have no clue. And Elon Musk is no different. Here's the headlines from Elon Musk. Ready? Musk said remote working is over at Twitter. Work from home forever policy has been axed. Well, I don't know what he's thinking, but you know what? He's so out of step with society today. Most people are going to bail from Twitter. Anybody with any talent isn't going to tolerate that. Work from home is the order of the day. Where's the environmentalists to back work from home? But Elon Musk is a nutcase. He wants to control everybody. Now, listen, he had a meeting yesterday with all of his staff after he let go 50% of them. And here's what he said to the rest. Ready? Yeah, Musk paints dire picture. In a meeting on Thursday, Mr. Musk warned employees that Twitter did not have the necessary cash to survive. So you just bought something for $44 billion, and you don't even know if it has the cash to survive? Now it gets worse. Then he said, Twitter's running a negative cash flow of several billion dollars. He forgot to mention that's annually. So now you're running a cash flow negative of several billion dollars annually. Well, then Musk even mentions a possibility of bankruptcy for Twitter. So let me get this right. He buys this company for $44 billion. He's had it for 2 weeks. He's already talking about bankruptcy. Kelly, this is the kind of psychosis we're talking about. This is whacked out. Now, most likely, Elon Musk is wise enough to plan something. He's probably got his finger in the government somehow. Everything he's done to get rich has used the taxpayers' backs for his wealth. And so he's probably got some plan for a big bailout. Twitter might be too big to fail, or I don't know what his plans are. But he's already literally talking about bankruptcy. And then he gets rid of the best talent by saying you can't work from home. I mean, the guy's a nutcase. He's off his rock, Kelly.
Most geniuses are nutcases. They're really good at one thing. But, you know, I think this is why he was trying to get out of it so badly, because he realized that the offer he made, it wasn't worth that. But, you know, Amazon had their price-earnings ratio was a blank line for, you know, more than 10 years because they weren't making any profit. You can't divide by zero. So, you know.
And if he uses the bankruptcy laws, he might be able to pull it into some kind of a partial bankruptcy where half the debtors are forgiven and or whatever, and let go. And, you know, he might have some plan to go ahead and just trim the price tag by force, Kelly.
Yeah, he's got a plan. You know, he thinks, you know, three or four steps ahead of everybody else. But, yeah, you know, that's how you have to do stuff like that. But to think that he was doing this just out of the goodness of his heart. No, he's an entrepreneur. He wants to make some money. So we'll see what happens with this. But it's sure pissing off everybody now, not just one side.
Yeah. Dr. Bradley, what do you say on this?
I say get close to the Lord and stay there. In this world today, we've got to have that divine inspiration, intuitive, whatever you want to call it, because if you listen to the pundits, and again, whether it's political pundits or economic pundits or whatever, I think that going back to the time-tested processes, whether it's constitutional principle or intrinsic value, real money that the nation was founded on, marriage, you take anything that you've got going in your life, look where the traditional values were, and I think you can say, okay, this is time-tested. You know, maybe you say, oh, I'm in a rut. No, the rut takes you someplace. It's going there because people wanted to go there. And nowadays, we have it's just a splatter of insanity that's presented to us every single day. I think we've got to sit down, quietly reflect. I've talked to you a lot of times, Sam, on the program about when you get lost, the first thing you do is sit down. You do an introspection. You look at your back trail. You look at your resources. These kind of things apply across the board, not just in government or not
just in economics. Here's what's comical.
I
don't care how rich Bill Gates is, Elon Musk is, Jeff Bezos is, any of these yahoos, the Federal Reserve, the global banking cartel can pull the rug out from under every one of them. They can be rich and considered a god in the world's way right now, but literally overnight, they could absolutely be in shambles. And literally, Elon Musk, this highfalutin guy, buys Twitter for $44 billion, has to sell a bunch of his stock in Tesla to go ahead and get whatever. And now this guy's literally talking about bankruptcy, laying everybody off, saying we don't even have enough cash to survive. We're losing $2 billion a year. They literally fine Alex Jones $1.5 billion. And now I got to talk about Jeff Bezos on the other side of the pause. We'll do it with Kelly Finnegan, RestQuantumGift.com, and Dr. Scott Bradley, FreedomSizingSun.com, in seconds on your radio.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, so listen to me carefully. Elon Musk literally melting down. Guy, how do you do that? You're the richest guy in the world, and you're talking about bankruptcy for the company you just bought. Amazon, by the way, Jeff Bezos, believe it or not, is the first company to lose $1 trillion in market value share price. It has fallen almost 50% this year alone. He's literally lost. I don't know how to understand this. He's literally lost $1 trillion in less than a year. Kelly?
I think you mean $1 billion, but the government...
No, it says $1 trillion.
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny that people think that if someone has money that they're smart. And most of the multimillionaires that I've ever met are complete idiots. They just have really good people working for them. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, it's not hard to do nowadays. If you put all your eggs in one basket, boy, that basket can get thrown around all over the place. You know, first Amazon, you know, couldn't get enough product, and now they've got too much, and nobody can
afford
to buy it.
All right, so just so you know, just to double this down, CNBC says it's $1 trillion. And to Dr. Scott Bradley's point on the break, Scott Bradley and others were saying, hey, didn't, you know, the Amazon just double because of the pandemic or whatever? And it said, yes, it more than doubled during the pandemic, but it's already back down, and they've lost 50%. Now they've lost $1 trillion. It's insane.
That is insane. And you know, I'm sure everybody's betting that they're going to, you know, buy the dip. It's time to get in there. He's going to make a big turnaround. It's funny, Kmart and Sears are gone.
Yeah, because Kmart and Sears were replaced by solid business, right, Dr. Bradley?
You know, Kelly mentioned earlier about Groucho Marx losing his fortune for buying stocks. You know, Groucho Marx, I mean, he's a quick-witted, intelligent kind of guy that played the clown in many comedy things. But to tell you the truth, sound principles they never go out of style. And easy come, easy go, it's only money, all those kind of attitudes that hit with so many of these people. I tend to be more of a, you know, the steady hand, plow the furrow you're in, never lose sight of the fact that hard work and faith and devotion to correct principles is what really, really in the long run is best to be on. And I think we're going to see a lot of people over the next, I don't know the period of time, between now and whenever the Savior comes, I guess, we're going to see some dramatic, dramatic things in our economy, in our politics, in our families, in principle. And I think stay in the course, knowing you need to know the foundation first. And if you don't, well, you're a ship without a rudder and storm-tossed sea.
I was going to say, and people get burned when they rely on these experts to help them because they don't know. You know, and they're putting all their trust in the arm of flesh. And, if, you know, you at least have to use your brain. That's the reason we have it. But they want to rely on these experts who are in it for themselves, too. You know, they have an agenda. So that's the issue. Study and learn.
Amen to that. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I thought that was interesting between Jeff and old Elon. Wow, those guys are taking a beating. But again, the Federal Reserve has ultimate control, and everybody will take a beating except for them if they want them to. All right, Wall Street Journal, or the WSJ, if you will, they have an editorial board who literally outright called Donald Trump a loser on Wednesday after the anticipated red wave failed to materialize. Republicans underperformed nationwide, and Donald Trump literally backed about 400 candidates during the midterm cycle, and it didn't go too well, Kelly.
No, and you know, that's again where everybody's relying on Donald Trump, because, you know, he's worth a lot of money or controls a lot of money, and he must, you know things. But and so now, you know, but he likes that. He likes getting all the credit. So like, well, here's the blame too. So, you know, I think he's even called DeSantis the sacrimonious, you know, and it's like he better be really, really careful or he's going to not have a good memory left behind of what he did.
Dr. You know, Bradley, what do you want to say to that?
Well, I mean, you know, there's so much we could say. We said some in the first hour. I think Trump probably has lost his opportunity for 2024. I think the handwriting's on the wall, the acrimony's there, and his response now is going to be even more destructive. But Kelly said something very important. I think the nuanced words sometimes need to be emphasized. There's wisdom in it. He said Trump controls a lot of money. Elon Musk is the same way. He may have a lot of personal assets, too. There's no getting around that. Trump does, too. But Musk borrowed money to buy Twitter. He's leveraging something here. These guys leverage other people's money that they allow to take the risk. And sometimes if we don't understand that and we say, wow, they're all in with all their money. No, they're not. They're using other people's money. And the fact of the matter is that we little people, if you will, we need to be on hard and solid ground. We need to understand our limits and bounds. We need to recognize, I mean, you know, we don't put our treasure where our hearts are if it's in the false things, you know. We need, you know, true religion undefiled, visit the fatherless, and we need to live within our means. We need to be wise. We need to not leverage ourselves. And I think the sound foundation has always been there. It's just that we have kind of gotten into a society where everybody's now just about as crazy as they were in the 1920s.
Yeah, and you're right about that fact. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Donald Trump win-loss record is very interesting. On one hand, he brags that he'll win bigly and all this stuff. It doesn't turn out that way. Right now, it's looking like he might be 50% winning of the candidates he backed. It might go up as high as 87% if everybody that he backs wins that are in question now. The problem is now that Trump is kind of got sour grapes because of the losses. He's literally attacking people and doing things that really is gonna hurt him big time. You know, I'm not really a favorite of Ron DeSantis, but he's one of the better ones by far. Okay, he's far from perfect. He's not a Scott Bradley by any means or Kelly Finnegan. But look, to attack Ron DeSantis, one of the shining stars that won in the 2022 elections, look, it's not going to bode well for Trump in 24. So I'm really concerned about that. I think Trump is making a big miscalculation there, and I don't know where that'll go. Now, I got an email from the Republicans, though, and this is a sham, in my opinion, but they say this: the Senate race in Georgia is too close to call, and we cannot afford for you to sit on the sidelines any longer, Sam. The fate of America hangs in the balance. And you know what? This couldn't be a bigger lie. They say, rush an emergency contribution to us now, Sam. And they go off on this big deal. They say, Sam, if you fail to step up, Democrats will continue to take America down the wrong path, and we may never be able to reverse it, Sam. Can we count on you to do your part to help us take back the Senate? I'm not giving these clowns any money. That's the deep state sending you those emails begging for money, folks. This is just disaster on steroids. The idea of the runoffs in the first place are as racist in their origins as it gets. And anyway, they sign it GOP HQ, paid for by the Republican National Committee. Folks, don't fall for these lies. Dr. Bradley, you're first on that, then Kelly.
Everybody uses these things. Wherever the wind blows, they're gonna spin them in a marketing way, Madison Avenue kind of thing. They're going to look for the way they can spin it to make more. And this fundraising thing is just one of those. Literally and truthfully, More hype comes out of these things. I think we need to read deeply into what happened on Tuesday and understand that that we're in deep trouble as a nation. And it's not going to just be politically, it's going to be economic too, the subject we're talking about here in this little segment with Kelly. A word of caution, be wise, stay close to the Lord, and pull all those that you love close to you, because that's the only real value we have in this thing. And I don't know, we get the Madison Avenue kinds of hypes all the time, and I've just closed them out a long time ago.
Kelly, final words yours, sir.
Well, I'm going to say there's the two great motivators for human beings, and that's fear and greed. And they're instilling fear in you to feed their greed. You send them money, and we'll scare the hell out of you. So, and it works. It's worked for forever. You know, that's why Nigerian princes are always telling me that I've inherited lots of money, because they know that greed works. But these guys are using fear for their greed.
Yes, they are. And the sad part is that Donald Trump and an Elon Musk and a Jeff Bezos and everybody else could literally fund the elections themselves without even blinking an eye. Now, they could go ahead and make sure their guys get over the top if that's what they really want. But the bottom line is Donald wants to start out by telling you he's going to spend his own money. Then later he wants to spend all of yours, along with Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and everybody else that's on literally corporate welfare, ladies and gentlemen. That is one of the quintessential problems of fiat money. And that is the Honest Money Report from Liberty Roundtable Live, giving it to you straight like nobody else has the integrity and or the guts to do. There's a few people. I shouldn't say nobody. There's a few, but I'm telling you, it's very few indeed. Why? Because it gores the ox of the retailers and the partners that bring them big advertising dollars. And since I fund everything virtually by myself and with a few dear beloved friends who put their money where their mouth is, RussQuinn and gift.com being one of them, all I'm telling you is that, look, we don't pay attention to that because we get our money elsewhere. But I'm telling you right now that the game is on fiat currency. They are going to force this into the Federal Reserve's latest deception, latest criminal financial activity. And they don't like competition. So pretty soon all the cryptocurrencies besides your government global crypto will eventually be marginalized and eventually shut down. The government let these fiat currencies float because the government wanted to get us used to them, liking them, dependent on them, making them mainstream. But in the end of the day, they're going to pull the rug out from everybody else, and they're going to be the ones holding all the cards. They'll tie that then a fiat money account that they control and have a backdoor and control over for you. They'll tie that to a credit score, and then they're going to take off the gloves, folks, because there won't be anything you can do. This, you won't be able to buy and sell thing becomes very, very real. How it all breaks down, when it becomes the mark of the beast, I have no idea yet. I'm not a prophet. But knowing full well that they will tie this to eventually your behavior and to your lifestyle. You know, Dr. Bradley, you spoke out, and we're simply going to lock your account down until you decide not to. They've already done that to me with Twitter to prove the point, and it turns out I was right all along. But Elon Musk isn't freeing up my account anytime soon. Now he's catering to the free speech violators and trying to kowtow to them. He's already lost the battle as he's on the ropes of possible bankruptcy. So, folks, we're in serious trouble here. It's all tied to fiat money. And that's why our segments with Brian Rust and Kelly Finnegan are so vital, so critical, so important to focus on and understand, because look, this isn't just for those who like gold and silver or coin collectibles. This will be reality for every one of us. RussQuinnGift.com. You've got a friend in the honest money business, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful commentary, ladies and gentlemen. Kelly Finnegan for RussQuinnGift.com. Dr. Bradley, thank you so much, sir, as well.
Glad always to be with you guys. Great exchange. Thank you much.
FreedomsRisingSun.com for his weekly webinars, his collegiate series, and more. For Sam Bushman, the producers in the studio, and all God-loving Americans, we declare this nation shall endure. Share live and on-demand talk radio from LovingLiberty.net with everyone you know. LibertyRoundtable.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.